New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. That was fun talking with Boone, right? Brett Boone.
Yes.
Hopefully we get Aaron at some point
That's
soon.
That's the plan.
Yanks better start winning. But I wanted you to hear, because I know you weren't here last time we had him on, but I wanted you to hear a little bit of that brotherly thing that they had, because that was what he said last time that jumped out to me, and he said it again, that this is who Aaron Boone's been his whole life. Even as a kid, when Brett used to bust his chops and, you know, tease him, and Aaron was always a fighter. So I like that scrappy nature of him, and I think it's funny to hear it from his brother, the big brother perspective. But he was pretty candid right there about what's going on with the Yankees and his brother's team.
If you missed the interview, I think it's definitely worth jumping in. You get it on the Odyssey app free. Obviously, hit rewind, check it out. We'll post it all over X, YouTube, WFAN account, all that stuff too. But, yeah, I know that Aaron Boone has fire. That's why I'm so disappointed in the lifeless nature in which the Yankees are playing. Because think about this, guys. Now, Brett's point, and Brett is right, it's hard and it's a very delicate balance. Maybe two or three managers could get away with it. And, you know, maybe Aaron's on that short list because he's been here for 7 years and whatever. But even without the championship, you're not going to eviscerate and just undress a major league player in a postgame in the year 2024. You're just right. Not.
Publicly.
Publicly. Yeah. You're going to subtly take a shot at best, like even with the Grisham stuff. Well, you know, hey, it wasn't a good look. That's about as much as he's going to go. That's fine. I do understand that. They're making $20, $30, $40, $50 million a year. Understood it's a different world. Then you better do it privately, which I do believe that Aaron Boone does. But if I don't see the result change, then I can only deduce that no matter what Aaron's doing, or anybody for this instance, whatever they're doing to try to change a bad trend is no longer being heard and processed properly. And that's equally worrisome.
Yeah, I just don't think there's really much you could do about it. It's kind of out of your control. And, you know, one more thing that Brett did say, and it was a great question about the data and all that stuff. And it's why I joked for years and called Aaron Boone a data applicator. But if, hey, you heard Brett say, and that's the way that I would be, if you're going to hire me to be the manager, now, maybe I wouldn't get hired in that scenario.
Yeah, but they wouldn't hire you.
I understand
that. Or me
that.
If I said that.
Right, I understand that. But if you're going to be the manager, you're going to be asked to do a job, you got to be able to do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, Boone's going to pay the price one day anyway. Now, hopefully he goes out there and wins a World Series, right? And then eventually he could go off into the sunset or do whatever, but I mean, if things keep going the way that they're going, maybe he gets fired. And at the end of it, you got to say, did I do enough of it my way? I know that it's all collaborative and all that nonsense, bull crap that we get into in today's day and age. But, you know, Carlos Mendoza the other day, pulling Christian Scott after 77 pitches.
Yep.
He didn't want to do that.
No.
But yet, when the Mets go into a funk and start losing, who do you think the fans are going to talk about? Who do you think the fans are going to blame? Like, I know some fans are smarting up to it, but reality is the manager. People calling this week about Aaron Boone, because they've had enough. They talked about Cashman, but he's not going anywhere. But yet Cashman hired Boone. He's the one who's bringing the data. Like, at some point, if you want to manage, you got to manage.
Well, think about this. Now, it works both ways. So, were we incorrect in heaping this excessive praise and lauding Mendoza during this incredible run? If we're not going to get on him for pulling Christian Scott after 77 because it's a joint organizational thing, then why in the world will we prop him up or Aaron Boone up or anybody, any other manager that went during a hot streak? Because it's the same thing. It's right. Collaborative. It's a collaborative approach.
I think with Mendoza, the one difference is, and you're right, the one difference with Mendoza early on, and there was a report about this, Andy Martino had the report, even though Stearns in the front office or the data people would say one thing, Mendoza took note of it, but also was comfortable enough to do what he wanted to do. With the Scott situation the other day, it was a hard.
Yeah.
You can't.
Well, they knew going into the game that it was 75 pitches.
Whatever it was.
They knew
right?
That, yeah.
Actually, I don't even know if I can say that on the air, but I heard something different about it. I can tell you off the air. But okay. Point is, that wasn't, there was no, it'd be like somebody coming to us, hey, you guys could have some fun. You can't talk about this, whatever the topic may be.
Yep.
You know, you could joke around about Lugie and Evan and Tiki, but don't touch this. We're not going to touch that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can take liberties and do certain things, but if the boss says you can't do that,
we're employees.
Correct. So that's, I think, what happened in that particular case. Hey, we know that you've taken some liberties before. And again, I'm paraphrasing.
Got it.
With Scott, no. So I think that's why Mendoza got some credit. But ultimately, you're right, BT. Managers have been minimized. That's why I don't even think it's a big deal if they fire Aaron Boone. I hate it. I like baseball the way that it used to be, where the manager was front and center. The general manager was kind of in the background. You build the team, but the manager's going to tell you what he needs. Then you go get it.
I know.
Personalities.
God, it's so different. I saw something just the other day, Earl Weaver, about a three-minute exchange with an umpire. And the umpire was mic'd up, too. Or I guess he was close enough to Weaver, so he just picked up what he was saying. And Weaver's like, you know, as I paraphrase, with F-bombs everywhere. Yeah. He's like, you know, you stink, this, that, you know, you have it out for us. You're trying to make us lose. And the umpire actually said, dude, you lose enough on your own in big games. Get lost. He's like, win playoff games. And Weaver's like, bleep you, I won last year. Whatever he's saying. Like, you're never going to get that.
Okay, now, before we get back to the calls here, do you know why managers used to be, and I know you know the answer, but I'm just going to say it anyway.
I'll give it to you.
Why managers used to be more front and center and more impactful in an organization?
Well, number one, almost every single manager played. That's that. Yeah, I think you start there.
So they played the game.
Although Tommy Lasorda was a minor leaguer. Okay. I don't think Earl Weaver played. Billy Martin played, obviously. You know,
or they just simply knew the game better. I still think that they do, but like it was... I know what I'm doing. I either played, I managed in the minor leagues.
Davey Johnson played.
I know what
Lou
Piniella
played. Bobby Valentine played. Yeah. Joe Torre played. Yep.
Right.
Dallas Green.
Exactly. Like, most of them played, but at the very least, they worked their way up through the ranks being a manager.
Yeah.
So they knew the game better. Nobody in a suit in the front office is going to tell these guys.
I know. That's true.
The game, they're better at the game. And now the guys in the suits think that they can tell the managers. So they hire these guys that don't have any managerial experience. They think that they can tell them that they know the game better based on the data sheets.
Yep.
It's just not right.
When that happened, I would imagine it very rarely happened, but if it happened back in the day, that would be met with, get the bleep out of my office, you tool geek. And then he would take a puff on a heater and open another beer and just blast him to his other coach. When he's like, look at this, you know, I just throw whatever he's going to say. Like, can you imagine that then?
Some front office nerd going to Jim Leland.
Oh, God. Or Piniella?
That's what I'm saying. All these guys.
Whitey Herzog.
And it's like managers, if you want to keep your job, you had to evolve. Because some of those old school guys were hanging around and then you had to evolve. And maybe Texas is different with Bochy or whatever. Maybe does it more his way. And again, I'm not saying that
Bob Melvin, I think, gets some more latitude. He played.
I'm not saying data and analytics are stupid or useless. But it's at the end of the day, it's a game played by humans that has really nothing to do with any information or data prior. Today's game with the Mets and Nationals, while the numbers will tell you based on everything that happened previously, they think because it happened previously, it's going to happen today. No, it's not. Today's a totally different day. It means nothing.
Okay, now, this is where you and I branch off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The over-reliance on analytics drives me nuts.
Right.
I'll give you a real-life example. All right, so my golf course, and I'm not good, it's not about that, but I could take any hole and... If for every 10 tee shots I take on every single hole, there is a trend as to where my ball goes.
Right.
I'll pipe two and get a little lucky and, you know, flush one down the middle. Maybe I'll actually dribble one. So forget about those.
Yeah, yeah.
But the shots that are slightly errant, the trend, I probably have a little bit more of a hook than a slice when I miss hit the ball. The point being, if they were trying to catch my golf ball, which they're obviously not because that's not golf, that's baseball and cricket. They would position themselves based on the information that presented itself from the previous seven times that my ball went left as a righty of the fairway.
Understood. But mine was more about, okay, well, just because this player, is hitting 250 on the year, he could go 4-for-4 and hit 4 home runs. Just because this player, you know, hasn't homered before, it's unlikely. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Or just because this pitcher had success against this batter, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen again today. Like, the numbers show you some things, but it's a game played by humans, and each day brings something different.
Again, I do agree, but let's take the baseball example you just threw out there. So a guy sitting 250, let's say he's in a 1-for... Yeah. I mean, actually, 250 is not terrible this time. But let's say he's 1-for-23, just mired in this horrendous funk. Mm-hmm. I mean, popping up, he's missing everything, 11 strikeouts, complete zero at the plate. And his average has gone from 290 to 250. Take somebody like DJ LeMay.
Right.
Okay. Where the analytics would be beneficial, you are trying to increase the odds of determining when something's going to change and forecast a result. So you can then take the pitcher that the Yankees, in this theoretical DJ LeMahieu example, they're facing, you can see his body of work, if there is one, against that opposing pitcher. If he's hitting 180 against him, guess what? That his streak, his slump probably ain't ending.
Yeah.
If he's hitting
probably.
If he's hitting, but that's why I say it's always about increasing the odds of getting it right.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee.
Well,
it's humans.
Of course. Well, that's kind of my point.
But so information's power.
You could use it.
Information's
for all...
power, Sal.
No.
It is.
Yeah, but.
Until it paralyzes you to perform freely, information's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing. I'm saying that it doesn't mean as much as everybody likes to think that it means or what it means. Because then everybody just gets the same information, get as much information as possible, they all apply it. Like that, it just doesn't work like that. It doesn't play out like that in real life with real human beings playing a game.
Dude, again, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of not. But there's also variables that analytics don't account for. Like when you leave the bullpen, your slider might not, say if your slider's your best pitch, and it's just not snapping. You just can't control it.
But there's analytics now for that, the spin rate.
Well, that's true. They do have that's true. But you start the game, and you make a decision as a manager or as an organization to sit a specific righty hitter against a specific slider-reliant pitcher whose best pitch is a slider, and that hitter, his biggest weakness is a slider, if you follow me. But
you'd be a data applicator. Well,
you would be. But think about this: just because the data says my guy can't hit sliders and their guy has a sick, nasty slider, just to put it in more workable, usable terms. But when he leaves the bullpen for whatever reason, because he's a human being, his slider's not quite there that night, and it's a C pitch, and he abandons it. Well, the decision to sit the guy doesn't pay dividends.
Right.
To
that,
your point,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I
exactly.
do see. I get it,
and I understand what you're saying too. There's obviously a balance, so you want to have all that information, but you also have to let the manager, I want the manager who's hired to be a manager, let him make the decisions based on all the information and based on what he's seeing and trusting his instincts as well.
But he's not hired to do that anymore.
Yeah, well,
he's hired under a different expectation.
He's hired to apply that data, which is why I call Boone a data applicator. All right.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Damien is in St. James. What's up, Damien?
I have 2 points that will further your point, Sal, about him being a selfish oaf.
FYI.
Well, I
okay,
am.
Okay, yes.
But so just in terms of the All-Star game alone, that is very telling, that comment. He's being egotistical because he's trying to build up his cachet to be re-signed with someone, right? So don't you think that he was on late night TV after the first time he was on the Home Run Derby?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that he wants to pick up his cachet nationally again to help him? And to me, I think that's a selfish act.
Well, hold on, Damien. Is he being egotistical or is he being smart from a business perspective? Come on.
He's smart, but the fact he's kicking, he couldn't give respect to the other two guys. On the
team,
listen,
if the other guys had so much respect, then maybe they would have been voted for.
The team meeting. I understand he got hurt, okay? But look at it from the perspective of the players. That pivotal moment that changed the season around, supposedly, he wasn't in the room. You don't think that was on purpose? You couldn't have moved that meeting till when he was a bit available? Because you don't look at him as any sort of leader or any sort of anything.
I don't think it was on purpose, and thank you for the call. I don't think it was on purpose, but I do feel like without his presence there, it might have allowed other guys, like J.D. Martinez, who said... He didn't say anybody specifically, but was saying like he's trying to get his feel. You know how it is. You walk into a new clubhouse.
100%.
Or whatever it is. Like, we don't walk into clubhouses, but in our walks of life, you walk into a new job or a new school or new class. Like, you know, you don't just... Although, BT, I get the feeling you'd just walk in and be like, what's up? This is my house, baby. All right, here we go. BT and Sal on The Fan. Hoff, you have some sound that you're saying we need to hear. We want to get back to the calls. You're preventing that.
Yes, I am. Okay. Okay, here we go. So Aaron Rodgers was at a golf course earlier and was... just asked a couple questions, so just listen in.
What's up? Do you think Luke Getsy's going to utilize Devontae Adams good in the new Raiders offense?
I love Luke Getsy. He's a fantastic coach.
Awesome.
Love and I love Devontae. I can't wait to play with him again.
Great. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
How's your game today? How you hitting him?
Did you hear what he said there?
Can't wait to play with him again?
Yeah.
When was this? Today?
Today.
Yeah. It's not... I mean, didn't Devontae Adams just say earlier in the week
Yep.
that he knows where I'm playing. Like, so what is Rodgers alluding to? I mean, he's
maybe
probably going to
play golf together.
Yeah. I mean, it's not happening.
I mean, yeah. Hop's editorial sense is a little bit off.
BT, I thought you'd jump all over that.
Well,
if you
thought it was possible, you know, if it could happen.
You talked about this last year that they were going to get Devontae Adams, and they never came close to it.
I did. Last year, I thought it was possible. I don't think it's happening.
Well, right.
Ever again?
No.
No. I mean, what, when Rodgers is 47, he's going to come?
Something just happened. Just reading about this. Was it yesterday?
What, about Devontae Adams?
Yes, from Adams' perspective.
I saw it as well.
And he was like...
He basically said that Rodgers tried or did approach him to try to get him to join the Jets.
Right.
And to come play with him. And I don't know if Devontae rebuffed him, but it didn't go anywhere. And the implication is that the time's passed.
And then I saw something else from Adams specifically saying that... Because I guess somebody asked him about that same thing, about playing with Aaron Rodgers again. He goes, look, he knows where I am. I'm a Raider or in Vegas or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Which is just like, he's not going anywhere.
So does that mean that Rodgers is going somewhere?
Oh, I mean, I think it means nothing. Here's what I want to hear from Rodgers. I was actually excited about the idea of potentially hearing from him, like, say, where he was and get into all that.
It's Egypt.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to hear from him.
I don't care.
Talk about, you don't care about hearing from Rodgers?
Not really. About Egypt? No.
Oh, no. About all of it. Like, the blowback that he got.
Nah, blowback's over. Now just go win. Otherwise, the blowback's going to be even worse than it was a couple weeks ago. I can promise you that.
All right, let's get back to the phones. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Carmine is calling from West Babylon. What's up, Carmine?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, before I get to that point, I listen to you guys every day. You're just as integral as my job, so thank you for keeping my days going.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
It's awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, listen, with Pete Alonso, the only thing that's different this year is his agent. Do you think Boers has been placing or has placed way too much pressure on him, which is why he's not possibly performing? Because I can't think of any other reason except for a natural decline with his age. But what could Boers possibly be saying to him now that he's having this season? He can't be promising the sales pitch that he promised before the year started. Do you agree with that?
He's too young to naturally decline. I don't think it's that. I think that's a very interesting, astute observation. I don't know that it's true, but it's possible. I mean, it's not like he's texting him every morning. Pete, come on, dude. It's middle of July. You got 18 home runs. Wake up. I mean, so maybe it's less in your face pressure, but or maybe it was presented in a way like, hey, listen, if you do X, Y, and Z this year, I will be able to translate that into, you know, other variables. Like maybe he gave him actual numbers and benchmarks, and maybe when you chase them, from a baseball perspective, that's never going to be a good thing, actually chasing numbers. I don't know, but it could be the pressure could be part of the reason for his slow season.
But I think Pete puts that pressure on himself, and I think he always has. Even in successful years, Pete just, these guys just wear it. It's why they folded down the stretch in 2022. I felt you could watch them and see it. And you certainly see it this year with Pete. You know, McNeil throwing the helmet, the frustration. Even the team's doing well. They're still, frustrated that they didn't get a hit or driving a run or whatever it may be. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be frustrated, but I definitely think that they're putting, and Pete specifically in this case, putting too much pressure on himself. Pete Alonso thought he was going to do what Aaron Judge did. That was the goal. Maybe not 63 home runs, like literally break a record, but have that type of walk year. That's how Pete valued himself. And I respect that. Like, you always want to hold yourself to the highest of standards and believe in yourself more than anybody else. It's one of the reasons why I thought Pete was going to have a big year, because generally Pete, like people said, hey, you can't play defense. He said, you know what? I'm going to work my rear end off. And he's been more than serviceable.
Yep.
At first base, or people just doubting that he could be a 50 home run guy regularly, but he's hit 40 home runs a bunch of times, like, or whatever, the home run, stupid home run derby, like, whatever it may be. Pete has generally answered the bell.
Yeah, this process pressure well.
Generally.
And doubting. Yeah, until this year.
And it's never been like, oh, Pete never gets a hit in a big spot. That's just so untrue. It's absurd. But this year, he has the most pressure on him because he's trying to get a big contract. He already turned down one from the Mets a year ago, and he is having his worst season. I mean, by every stat I think you could measure, oh, maybe not by batting average literally yet, because the last year was so bad, but power numbers, which is Pete's strength, they're down. So, yeah, it has to be the pressure. But I don't think it's from Boris.
And then you look at somebody like Judge and how he compartmentalized the pressure when he was chasing home runs every night. And that's why I don't doubt that Judge will eventually crack through in October.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you know he's got that.
I think the heartbeat's slow enough, and I think he'll be ready eventually, and he'll get it done eventually. But, yeah, I mean, to me, pressure comes from when, like, something dire. And I know that it's all relative, right? Like, pressure is if I don't, not for, I don't mean us right now, but, like, pressure is if I am a single parent and I have a job interview and I don't get this job and I've got a rent and I've got two or three kids and I'm divorced and my spouse isn't paying, whatever, like real life stuff.
Yeah.
And if I don't get this job, they're going to foreclose on my home or my loan or I'm going to be kicked out of the apartment. That's pressure. And I mean, Pete's making $20 million this year at a qualifying offer. Right, I know it's relative. It's not the best example. But still,
if he gets kicked out of baseball for the rest of his life, he's pretty set, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Maybe it's easy for me to say when...
Well, still.
It could be the difference, maybe the way Boris presented it, $200 million. I get it. But I don't know. That's not the real pressure that most of us deal with.
Mike is calling from Hackensack, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. What's up is I have a hypothetical, which I don't normally like to do. But before I do that, I just want to say, can't a Yankees pitcher get past five innings? It's like automatic. Automatic. It drives me crazy. That's number one. Guys, the Yankees need a first baseman. Let's say Alonso gets traded, and he's a rental to, let's say, the Astros. Do the Yankees think about signing him? We need a first baseman. The options next year at first base are not great. They're older players. I mean, do we wait till the next year and maybe try and sign Vladdy? I mean, I'm just thinking, I would not mind having Alonso batting fifth, banging 40, driving in 110.
I don't want him. I'm going to remain consistent with that. I don't think the Mets should build around him, and I don't want him in the middle of the order for the Yankees on a deal. No. Not interested.
Well, first of all, I think I guess you could answer it without even knowing the value, and you've been pretty consistent on that. I want to know what you're paying Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm. Let's throw something out. How about...
Let me
go 5 years.
Right.
Because it's not going to be much more than that, if he even gets five.
I don't even think he's getting that.
He very well might
I think
not.
He's going to have to take a short contract.
He might, like a Bellinger type. Yes. He might, like Chapman.
But that's just a guess.
I got you. Let's say 5 years...
God.
150.
Yeah. No.
You don't think
doing it. I can't say what's going to happen. I'm saying me.
Yep.
I'm not doing that anymore. There was a time where I would have said, yeah, sure, 200, 220. Now is not the time.
Okay, I wouldn't do it either. But I will say that to me, there's a difference 5 years, 150 for the Yankees versus 5 years, 150 for the Mets. Because the ability to monetize Pete as a Met is you'll stretch the 150 more than the Yankees will. You know, if Pete Alonso shows up, and this is never going to happen again. This is Looneyville.
I don't think I want Pete on the team anymore. Yeah,
okay. You know,
I don't
Mets.
Think
on the
I'm
Mets.
Torn. Yeah, I just want to move on. Like, I mean, because I'm even doing the math.
To start the show,
so I'm even doing the math. Like, let's just say, and it's not going to happen, but let's just say the Mets gave him 6 years for 125. Now I'm coming down. Obviously,
he's getting much more. He's getting more than $25 million a year.
He's not getting 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Do you think
what did Bellinger get this year exactly?
I think he got two with an opt. I think
but how much per year?
I forget the exact amount.
Can you look
Chapman
that up?
Chapman got an opt too, short one.
I'm curious what Bellinger got again. Yeah. Not that he's the exact barometer, but I want to know per year. That'll give us a ballpark because right now we're figuring around 30.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. But again, so let me just stick to the 5 years, 150. 5 years, 150 for the Yankees for Alonso makes no sense, okay? 5 years, 150 for the Mets, I don't think makes a ton of sense either, but it's easier to justify because the things that
Bellinger got 26.6 per year, right? 3 for 80.
But I think that third year is an option. Or maybe maybe even after the first year,
but
it's his option.
But the point is, 26, just over $26 million a year.
Okay.
I think he's looking at that.
Well, but to be fair to Pete, again, the volatility in Bellinger's performance has been much more pronounced than the up and downs of Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's been the more consistent player. Now, I like Bellinger. I wanted Bellinger for the Yankees as an option. I said that at first base. I did say that.
The year Vientos is having, even in
comparison. 290-something.
293, 11 homers. He's come up with big hits. So I'm envisioning moving Vientos to first.
Okay.
And then getting a real third baseman or figuring it out. Remember, the Mets have some guys coming up.
Sure.
Like, that's one way to kind of just replace that production there and then go elsewhere, a different position, to make the team just a little bit better.
And I think that that would make them better long term.
Because you're also taking away the weak defense potentially from Vientos. I know he's been okay, much better than we thought. But
he probably will not be, not that Pete's Hernandez, he probably won't be quite Pete at first base either. I mean, Pete's a tick above serviceable. You hope Vientos is average as a first baseman. Okay. I mean, that's somewhat of a push, but to be fair, slight advantage, Pete.
You're going to pay Pete Alonso $30
million. I'm not.
Okay, well, let me just say, forget about Yankees versus Mets. And I know that there's more value with the Mets.
Only because homegrown, Hall of Fame, retired numbers, all that stuff that you can monetize.
I think that was there. I think that, I'm telling you, as a Met fan, I don't even feel that anymore.
Yeah.
And I did. If you asked me a year ago at this time, maybe about 13 months ago at this time, I would have said, you're out of your mind. They have to lock him up, sign him. And I'm now like, seeing it totally differently.
But I don't think that you, and I know where you stand, and I'm with you, but I don't think you feel the same way as Hoff or Evan or Loogie. Not that, you know, they're the ultimate voice of, like, everything they say is right.
Right, we're all Met fans.
But they're all Met fans.
Right, I'm not saying
I think Zoo wants Pete to stay. I think Met fans want him to stay.
Here's what we do know.
More than you.
Here's what we do know. We're watching this team succeed at a high level offensively without Pete Alonso being an integral part of it. So once I've seen that, now I'm easy. It's much easier to move on. Also, forget Mets, Yankees. How much do you think Pete Alonso is worth per year?
I don't want him on the Yankees because I don't think he's a one tool player, and the Yankees have been built poorly for two. I don't need to add to it.
Right, forget Yankees.
Okay, I'm
just
sorry.
In general.
Yeah, how many years or per year?
Per year.
I want to. If he finishes with 40 plus. He's going to get near 30.
Okay, so between 25 and 30
years. Between 25 and 30.
And then you project it out to how long would you want to keep him? And you're going to say max 5 years.
I would. Now, from the Mets' perspective, you're going to always throw in the extra year because of the homegrown stuff. And again, the Hall of Fame. And it means nothing now, but it does mean something down the road. Anywhere else, I think it's got to be like incentives where if you do this, that extra year triggers. Yeah. You can't go more than five. Yeah. You absolutely cannot. And I would almost fight for the fifth year to be on my terms rather than his.
And that's why they offered the contract that they did. He turned it down. He won't get anything close to that, especially from them, nor should he.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. It is sad the amount of losers that exist out there on social media. That's all I'm going to say about that. BT, what do you got for me?
All right, so really
and I mean like low-life, pathetic, sad losers. That's it. That's all I'll say.
There are a lot of them.
Oh, my God. Grow up.
So let me transition. I saw something interesting. So you're not going to let it go?
How could you want to trade Pete? He wants to trade Pete. WFAN stings. He wants to trade Pete in that production. Oh, my God.
You were
grow
done.
Up. Yeah.
I got you.
Go cry to mommy. Okay. Sorry. Now it's out of my system.
I'm not sure if you're done. I still don't know. Did he get it out of his system?
For what now.
He's good. So anytime we can squeeze in a little football just to get the mind cranking in the right direction, we'll do it. So I came across something on CBSSports.com real quick. Maybe we'll even circle back tomorrow, expand on this a little bit. But they listed the head coaches 1 through 32 in their not like hot seat, just their order, like who they value the most.
Right.
1 through 32. Where do you think Salah was number-wise? I know where you think he is.
So, like, one being the hottest seat?
One is the best? No. I said it's not hot seat. It's just, like, the ones that they think are the best. Like, in descending order.
Okay, I got you.
So, where do you think Salah is, and where do you think Dable is? 1 through 32. What is the best? 32 is the worst.
I'm going to guess they have Dable. Now, I would have him higher. I'm going to guess they have Dable 22.
You're pretty good at this stuff. You're hot today. 21 for Dable. You've been right around the mark every time I ask you something.
Salah. I'm going to say.
Not 21.
Right.
What are you going to say here? Remember a couple rookies
exactly. I'm going to say 29.
You nailed it. 29. Nice job. 29
for
Salah.
I am on a heater today.
You got to start betting again, buddy.
Right.
It's calling you.
I would have had him. Yeah, I don't know how I
instead of Soto. Parlay.
I don't know how. Well, I figured, now, you know, I would probably have Salah 32, but also they're going to be, to be fair, they're going to be guys that are first-time coaches, as you said. So there's going to be only a few of those. Though, even that is still saying something, the fact that they would have him ranked 29.
Yeah.
And was Dable 22, you said?
21. You said 22.
Yeah, I mean, he probably should be higher. As I said, I would have him higher, but just going based off of where they expect.
I agree. Put it this way. There aren't 20 other, this is going to sound nuts after last year, there's not 20 other coaches I would want in front of Dable.
Correct.
Honestly.
Right. I like the way that you said that. All right. Let's finish up on the phones here. Johnny is in Ocean, New Jersey. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, long time caller. Love you guys. And Sal, you cracked me up. You played a lot tonight. BT and Sal, I want to bring up a few points about the Mets. I definitely agree with both of you. Pete should not be signed by the Mets by the end of the year. I don't think we should trade him because we won't get anything in real value in return. I think we're playing good right now, and we can keep him in the lineup. I wouldn't assign him at all for next year. I would want to go all in on Soto and Burns.
Yeah.
As far as Nimmo, I think Nimmo got the snub. If you look at situational hitting with two outs, I want you to look at his batting average, OPS. I mean, he is awesome. Nimmo is the most underrated left fielder. And my last point I want to make, Stearns did an awesome job with the starting pitching. Four pitchers.
Yeah, no, he got good value, Johnny, and thank you for the call. I think Lindor more deserving, though, than Brandon Nimmo as an all-star. And look, I understand. You're allowed to disagree. If you want Pete Alonso to be here, that's fine. Me, personally, I would look to move on. One more, BT, because you've been holding a while.
Absolutely.
Chris is in Belleville. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have a Juan Soto injury question, but I wanted to ask Sal, did you see the Presumed Innocent episode last night?
No, I did not. Do not spoil it for me. Tonight, I got to go home with my wife and watch it. Was it good?
It was good. I was going to ask you if you think he did it, but
as of now, and I have not seen the last episode, yes, I think it's leaning that way, but I'll watch it tonight. Yeah. We'll get back to you tomorrow or next week on that one. Go ahead, what's your point,
Me
Chris?
And you both.
Yep.
Juan Soto, look, I don't trust the Yankees dealing with injuries, being truthful about them, handling them right. Going back to the Rizzo debacle last year, the way Soto has been playing the last month, they went to him in the dugout yesterday on camera, and they had a trainer looking at his hand. I would not be surprised at all to find out that he's playing through an injury that he probably shouldn't be playing through, and I also wouldn't be surprised if this guy lands on the DL for a portion of the second half of the year and maybe going into the postseason because they're once again mishandling an injury with this guy.
He did look wrapped up pretty good there, BT. Thanks for the call, Chris.
And he's hitting 190 over 20-something games, so there's a connection. You know, it's funny because if he sat out and he missed, you know, I'm just throwing it out there just to follow up the call, 20, 30, 40 games, you might get not that many people would say, well, you know, I don't know, would that alter his value? Actually, probably not as I say it out loud, but if he continues to play and he's hurt and the numbers and he hits 279 or 280 rather than 310 with a, you know,
right,
like that could adversely to an extent impact what he commands on the open market. So by trying to grind through it, I respect it. He's actually hurting himself, but I respect it.
Me too.
They need him.
But if you take him out of that lineup,
last year's Yankees, basically.
There's no shot. They'd be toast. All right, that does it for us. Fun show as always, BT. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. to finish out the week strong. Thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Zoo. Thanks to Hoff. We'll see you tomorrow at 10. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Judy.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. It is sad the amount of losers that exist out there on social media. That's all I'm going to say about that. BT, what do you got for me?
All right, so really fast.
And I mean like low-life, pathetic, sad losers. That's it. That's all I'll say.
There are a lot of them. I
hear
you.
Oh, my God. Grow up.
So
I
let me transition. I saw something interesting. So you're not going to let it go?
How could you want to trade Pete? He wants to trade Pete. WFAN stings. He wants to trade Pete in that production. Oh, my God.
You weren't done.
Yeah.
All right, I got you.
Go cry to mommy. Okay. Sorry. Now it's out of my system.
I'm not sure if you're done. I still don't know. Oh, did he get it out of his system?
He's good.
So anytime we can squeeze in a little football just to get the mind cranking in the right direction, we'll do it. So I came across something on CBSSports.com real quick. Maybe we'll even circle back tomorrow, expand on this a little bit. But they listed the head coaches 1 through 32 in their not like hot seat, just their order, like who they value the most.
Right.
1 through 32. Where do you think Salah was number-wise? I know where you think he is.
So, like, one being the hottest
seat? One is the best. No. I said it's not hot seat. It's just, like, the ones that they think are the best. Like, okay. In descending order.
Okay, I got you.
So, where do you think Salah is, and where do you think Dable is? 1 through 32. What is the best? 32 is the worst.
I'm going to guess they have Dable. Now, I would have him higher. I'm going to guess they have Dable 22.
You're pretty good at this stuff. You're hot today. 21 for Dable. You've been right around the mark every time I ask you something. Salah. All right. Salah.
I'm going to say.
Not 21.
Right.
What are you going to say here? Remember a couple rookies
exactly. I'm going to say 29.
You nailed it. 29. Nice job. 29 for Salah.
I am on a heater today.
You got to start betting again, buddy.
Right.
It's calling you.
I would have had him. Yeah, I don't know how I.
Instead of Soto. Parlay.
I don't know how. Well, I figured, now you know I would probably have Salah 32, but also they're going to be, to be fair, they're going to be guys that are first-time coaches, as you said. So
yep.
There's going to be only a few of those. Though even that is still saying something, the fact that they would have him ranked 29.
Yeah.
And was Dable 22, you said?
21. 21. You said 22.
Yeah, plus? I mean, he probably should be higher. As I said, I would have him higher, but just going based off of where they expect.
I agree. Put it this way. There aren't 20 other, this is going to sound nuts after last year, there's not 20 other coaches I would want in front of Dable.
Correct.
Honestly.
Right. I like the way that you said that. All right. Let's finish up on the phones here. Johnny is in Ocean, New Jersey. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, long time caller. Love you guys. And Sal, you cracked me up. You played a lot tonight. BT and Sal, I want to bring up a few points about the Mets. I definitely agree with both of you. Pete should not be signed by the Mets by the end of the year. I don't think we should trade him because we won't get anything in real value in return. I think we're playing good right now, and we can keep him in the lineup. I wouldn't assign him at all for next year. I would want to go all in on Soto and Burns.
Yeah.
As far as Nimmo, I think Nimmo got the snub. If you look at situational hitting with two outs, I want you to look at his batting average, OPS. I mean, he is awesome. Nimmo is the most underrated left fielder. And my last point I want to make, Stearns did an awesome job with the starting pitching. Four pitchers.
Yeah, no, he got good value, Johnny, and thank you for the call. I think Lindor more deserving, though, than Brandon Nimmo as an all-star. And look, I understand, you're allowed to disagree. If you want Pete Alonso to be here, that's fine. Me, personally, I would look to move on. One more, BT, because you've been holding a while.
Absolutely.
Chris is in Belleville. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
Hey. What's up, guys? I have a Juan Soto injury question, but I wanted to ask Sal, did you see the Presumed Innocent episode last night?
No, I did not. Do not spoil it for me. Tonight, I got to go home with my wife and watch it. Was it good?
It was good. I was going to ask you if you think he did it, but
Now, and I have not seen the last episode, yes, I think it's leaning that way, but I'll watch it tonight. Yeah. We'll get back to you tomorrow or next week on that one. Go ahead. What's your point,
Chris? Me and you both.
Yep.
Juan Soto, look, I don't trust the Yankees dealing with injuries, being truthful about them, handling them right. Going back to the Rizzo debacle last year, the way Soto has been playing the last month, they went to him in the dugout yesterday on camera, and they had a trainer looking at his hand. I would not be surprised at all to find out that he's playing through an injury that he probably shouldn't be playing through, and I also wouldn't be surprised if this guy lands on the DL for a portion of the second half of the year and maybe going into the postseason because they're once again mishandling an injury with this guy.
He did look wrapped up pretty good there, BT. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Chris.
And he's hitting 190 over 20-something games, so there's a connection. You know, it's funny because if he sat out and he missed, you know, I'm just throwing it out there just to follow up the call, 20, 30, 40 games, you might get, not that many people would say, well, you know, I don't know, would that alter his value? Actually, probably not as I say it out loud, but if he continues to play and he's hurt and the numbers and he hits 279 or 280 rather than 310 with a, you know,
right,
like that could adversely to an extent impact what he commands on the open market. So by trying to grind through it, I respect it. He's actually hurting himself, but I respect it.
Me too.
They need him.
But if you take him out of that lineup,
last year's Yankees.
There's no shot. They'd be toast. All right, that does it for us. Fun show as always, BT. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. to finish out the week strong. Thanks to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Zoo. Thanks to Hoff. We'll see you tomorrow at 10. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.